A reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What does the shedding of the blood of the Son of God on the cross mean for us? It means a great many things. Full forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God the Father, and other realities as well. Today, though, we consider how Jesus' death restores to us true meaning to our lives. Peter writes, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." What does he mean by futile ways? Futility is an important biblical word. God created human existence to be fulfilling and meaningful, and yet we see throughout our world futility afflicts us. This word here in 1 Peter is the same word that's famously used to open up the book of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. It's futile. Ever since our first parents disobeyed God, there has been futility in the world. And without Jesus and without his saving work, there would be no meaning in our lives. People come and people go. People build and nature destroys. People gather wealth, but it rusts or rots or is given to someone else. People accumulate memories, but soon even they are forgotten. And it's been like this for centuries. How many of you know your great-great-great-great-grandparents? I don't. And it will continue to be like that for us. This is what Peter is getting at when he talks about the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. So what is the purpose of life? You can work to gain wealth, but it will soon all be gone. You can dedicate your lives to beating others in competition, but sooner or later someone's going to come along and steal your thunder. You can work to be happy in your life, but tough times will still come. You can eat right and exercise and discipline your body to live as long as possible, but death still lies in wait. Now, this isn't some morbid fatalism. It's simply reality. Generations have come and gone. Some live well, others scrape by. Generation after generation, one like the last. So what's the point of all of it? Does any of what we do matter? Well, the world tries to answer this question, but has nothing lasting to offer. Instead, today, as Christians, we have set before our eyes the cross of Jesus Christ. We come before the cross in subdued awe and praise as we behold the Lamb of God, pure and holy, despised by sinful men, bloody and dying for us. This isn't one more futile image in a futile world. This isn't just some good man who's cut off in the prime of his life. This isn't just another sad story to add to our infinitely large, sad stack of stories already. Jesus' life and death means something. It actually brings meaning to our lives. As the disciples beheld their Lord suffering on the cross, it may have looked like a devastating scene of meaninglessness. At that moment, it might have seemed like just another dead end, a death that made everything that came before it pointless. But we know Jesus' death means something. As Peter said, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Even more, our Lord Jesus Christ did not remain dead. God raised him from the dead, Peter said, and gave him glory. As the precious blood of Christ is shed, the curse on creation is being removed. The saving death of Jesus matters supremely. And because his death and resurrection, everything in our lives, everything that we do, everything that we are, matters. In Jesus, our lives have meaning. So what is the meaning that we have in our lives? God, who is so full of love, has placed Jesus in our lives so that we, too, can love one another with a pure heart. To love all, from our favorite family members to our most hated enemies. In whatever station God has placed you, in all the vocations that he's given to you, he calls you to love those that he's put in your lives. We give ourselves for the good of others because Jesus Christ gave himself for all people. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, our lives and the lives of everyone that we meet matters. The love shown to us by God means that the love that we show to others and the love that others show to us is crowned with lasting significance in the presence of God. You know, the Bible sometimes describes our lives and our works as bearing fruit. We're compared to trees that God takes and transplants by streams of living water. We know that fruit is good and it's sweet, but we know that doesn't last. You can pick a fruit and all it will do is ripen and then finally rot. Peter quotes here from Isaiah, where he had written, "All flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls." In ourselves, we are like plants of the field that rot away. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, everything has changed. When we remain in Jesus, we bear fruit, fruit which lasts, fruit which can continue to grow. We can continue to bear fruit, fruit that will last, fruit that will abide. That's because it's not of our own efforts, but it's because the power of God, the word of the Lord, he says, will remain forever. God will take up all of our works, all of our moments, and he'll weave them together into the tapestry of his love, his beautiful purposes, his enduring, everlasting will. And he makes them count. Your everyday lives, everything that you do and say and think, now because of Jesus Christ, has meaning. And now because of him, you can bear fruit that will last. Your life is no longer empty. Your good works, your lives matter. They will count. They will last forever. You've been born again, Peter said, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So when the drudgery of the endless everyday tasks that you have begins to wear you down, when you start to question whether or not what you are doing matters, fix your eyes on the cross. Make the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, and be strengthened to press on, knowing that each and every day, this same Jesus who died for you and who was raised for you will never leave your side. None of your efforts is in vain. In him, we are accomplishing the loving and the everlasting purposes of God our Father. We will bear fruit that lasts. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.